Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Good morning, everybody. Acting Fire Chief Wes Roberts with the Tallahassee Fire Department and his colleague, Lieutenant Mike Bellamy. They'll be joining us. Tallahassee Talks contributor William Wulsifer, a local attorney, will join us talking a little bit about mortgage modification and that whole business that's going on. And we'll have another installment of IMAX UMAX with Emily Brown. We'll find out what's going on over at the IMAX Theater. So stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Robert Sand Company, providing soil, mulches, compost, rock, and gravel for homeowners and businesses for 50 years, and by Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive for accessories, detailing, and window tinting for your car or truck.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tripping out to truck.
Folks, the backup camera system has become a standard in most of the new vehicles, and you don't have to buy a new vehicle in order to have the safety and protection of the standard. Come in to Truck and Car Concepts. We can install a backup camera system that's going to give you the safety and protection for $399 and up.
Everything is here from A to Z.
Hey, Jerry.
Hi, Peter.
Wow, you really going after those carrots.
Yeah, so?
Well, you gotta slow down.
Oh, no. You're right.
Must be the Roberts.
What? Roberts?
Yeah, Roberts Topsoil and Compost.
Farmer Brown is a genius.
Grow your garden with the best from Roberts Sand Company. Call 576-1414 or click robertssand.com. Do the Roberts.
So we're talking about safety, fire safety particularly this week. We have Acting Fire Chief Wes Roberts, Lieutenant Mike Bellamy joining us shortly. And as we think about the threat of fire, it seems we have so many things to be worried about. And there are so many threats that fire somehow we forget is just as threatening as ever. Whether it's a lightning strike, we've had a couple of those during the week. These folks up there in Valdosta that had the, I guess it was a chemical plant up there and explosion of fire. They had 40 firefighters on the scene trying to deal with that on Wednesday. So fire remains a constant threat to us, and it's a vigilant effort that these folks mount for us on our behalf, protecting property and protecting life, Tallahassee Fire Department. So we're going to learn a little bit about them. Also in the news, have you noticed that the Tallahassee Mall is going up on the auction block? Wow, that's remarkable. After 40 years, this thing has been sort of a landmark for so many people over the years, and now it's at the point where they're going to auction it off. So you too, if you have the interest, might be the new owner. All of its 95 acres now for sale, and that's happening. Here we are in the dog days, right, of summer as we head into back to school for everybody, and football is going to be starting up soon. That's a big deal for most of us. And we have what's going on around the country in the way of home mortgage modification. That's a big story. And so our own Tallahassee Talks contributor, Bill Wulsifer, a local attorney, will be with us and talk about what that entails and some of the things that are going on with that that may not be common knowledge, and some of the pitfalls, and even might be some apparent abuses in that whole business, unfortunately. So we've got a lot to learn about there. Looks like the special session isn't going to happen. The protesters remain on site there at the Capitol. So that continues in the news, and we're looking forward to the resurgence of activities related to Florida State University and students back in town. Has a big impact, does it not, on all areas of life, both culturally and economically, even traffic, and maybe most importantly, the traffic. So, folks, here we are on a beautiful Saturday, looking forward to a great show. Glad that you've tuned in. To kick things off, we're going to welcome Bill Wolsifer, our own Tallahassee Talks contributor. Bill Wolsifer, a local attorney,
speaking freely, and we're talking some interesting topics here this morning dealing with mediation. Bill, how are you?
Great, Brian. Nice to be here.
Mediation, particularly in relation to Chapter 13 filers and the whole business of mortgages that have gone awry. This is a very interesting area right now, and there's some things that have happened recently. Bill, bring us up to date.
Well, this is mortgage modification mediation in the Northern District Bankruptcy Court. It's a new program, was effective June 1st, 2013. It's been in place down in the Middle District and the Southern District, and it's new to the Northern District. And it's for persons who are in bankruptcy, file for Chapter 13 protection, have a mortgage that's in default or imminent for default, and they want to modify the payment so they can stay in the home and the lender still sees performance on the loan.
I see. And mediation, from the basis of it being part of the original intention of the HAMP program, right? Mediation was always intended, but it didn't quite work as well. Why did that happen?
Well, the HAMP program stands on its own, and mediation stands on its own. So mediation is always available. It was mandatory in state court foreclosures for a while.
Okay.
That parties attend mediation. That was not very successful.
Why?
The lenders did not participate.
Saying that softly, yes. In other words, they weren't quite as motivated as we might have wanted them to be.
Yeah, I didn't quite finish that sentence. I don't want to blame the lenders. But there wasn't the full participation. It seemed that they were showing up because it was mandatory.
Okay. So in other words, I want to modify my loan. I'm going to the lender. We're going to mediate this deal. And they're required to show up, but they're not required to work this out, is basically the way it was. Yeah.
The lenders have a heavier burden than the borrowers.
Sure.
In that they're handling so many cases.
But now, if I file Chapter 13, it's a reorganization, a personal reorganization. This ruling has come from the Northern District. The court has said what?
That there will be a mediation program. They follow the Middle District's model, made some modifications of it. And if the debtor files a motion for mediation, the court will likely grant it.
Mm-hmm.
The lender has to participate in good faith.
Not just show up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, the state court mediation had a 4% settlement rate. The Middle District of Florida had an 86% settlement rate.
Whoa.
Yeah, huge difference. Because they're in bankruptcy, the court has control.
Okay.
The parties are under the scrutiny of the court.
Yep.
So there's deadlines, there's processes that have to be complied with.
Yeah.
And if you can picture a law firm that does foreclosure work, particularly here in Florida, because Florida leads the nation in foreclosures, there's many, many attorneys that are doing these state foreclosures.
I see.
Let's say maybe there's 40 at a firm.
Okay.
But there's one or two that are doing the bankruptcy cases.
I see.
So it's much more focused.
All right. So in that regard, if I am in that situation, or I might be approaching that situation where I think, gosh, I'm going to have to file Chapter 13, this is good news for me, because now I've got at least the court and the protection of those provisions within that Chapter 13 bankruptcy proceeding, and the court saying, hey, this guy wants to mediate with you, Mr. Lender, so let's get that done. It's more compelling.
That's right. Yeah, the mediation is going to take place.
And in those mediations, then, you're saying that the Middle District has seen a much better return on that. Would you say 86% of those?
86 compared to 4% is huge.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Now, my experience had been, especially prior to HAMP, you would hear encouragements, for the borrower, contact your lender, talk to your lender, try to modify with your lender, try to work it out.
Right.
But you couldn't get the lender on the phone.
Yeah.
Right? Now, of course, HAMP has helped that because it's mandated that they do comply.
Yep.
But it's still hard to get the lender on the phone. I have found even the attorney for the lender can't get their client on the phone. At least, the ultimate decision makers.
Yeah.
It's just a huge burden. Like I said, they have just a lot of foreclosures, and they have a duty to their shareholder to carry out these foreclosures.
Right.
But the mediation process, well, there's a mediator who's a neutral who helps these parties focus on the process, process of producing the proper documents, complying with the modification document requirement, and seeing that the lender participates to the extent that they must.
And in these settlements, typically, what kinds of results do people see?
They can see reduction in interest down to 2% for the first 5 years, and then a 1% increase after that. They can see extension to 480 months, 40-year loan instead of a 30-year loan, or instead of 10 years, whatever's left on it. They can create a 40-year payment. They can even see principal reduction.
So, folks, there you go. Speaking freely with local attorney Bill Wolsifer, good friend of the show, and Tallahassee Talks contributor. Thanks, Bill, for the update.
Thank you, Brian.
Time to check out our buddy Joe over at Truck and Car Concepts. What's going on, man?
Hey, man, what's going on with you guys?
Well, here's the deal. I heard that you were gone all day as you were out tinting a house.
Yes, sir. His customer was having a big heat problem on the west side of the house in the afternoon. We went over, did the estimate, decided to do the east side of the house as well. Let me tell you something. We knocked out 79% of the heat energy, which is going to totally knock down the electricity bill. Not only that, but she had some really nice paintings that were fading out in the living room. 99% ultraviolet ray elimination.
So it would fade out like carpets and drapes and furniture and stuff?
Not only that, but it also fades out those expensive hardwood floors. So window filming the house is nothing but a plus. Like I said, it comes and it takes down the heat energy, and that's, you know, bottom line.
So even though the place is called Truck and Car Concepts, you could throw a house in there too.
We can do houses, planes, trains, or automobiles, man. If it's got glass, we tin it. Truck and Car Concepts. 656-8800. Give us a call.
So here we are on a Saturday morning talking with our new friends, Mr. Wes Roberts, who's interim chief, fire chief for the Tallahassee Fire Department. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
And his able companion, the very capable, the buoyant, the exciting, what else did you want me to say?
Come on, keep
okay.
Keep.
Lieutenant Mike Bellamy, Tallahassee Fire Department. Mike, how are you?
Good morning, Brian. Good to be here.
You're looking rested and ready to take on whatever the day may bring, huh?
Absolutely.
That's how it rolls with you guys. You're still firefighters after all the other things that you deal with in this town, and the bottom line is still the bottom line. You got to save lives and put out fires. And it seems like there's never a real season to that. I mean, if I'm not setting my house on fire with a kerosene heater, in the wintertime, then we got the lightning strikes coming. So there's a lot of work to be done. In fact, here we are in the dog days of summer when lightning happens. And so that was this week. We had a situation with a couple of lightning strikes over on the east side of town. Am I right about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we see it every year. It's just like you say. It's just part of the summer season for us. The fire season is different each quarter of the year, and unfortunately, Florida is the capital of lightning.
Yeah,
and I think Tallahassee is the capital of. The city capital of lightning when you look at it throughout the state. So we stay busy. I mean, when those storms roll through, it's not unusual for us to respond to two or three of them.
And in that regard, this is sort of a peculiar question, I suppose, but with a lightning strike and that kind of force, I mean, that's a fire that happens right now. I mean, that's not smoldering for a while, or am I wrong about that?
Well, oftentimes, that's a lot of energy and that's a lot of heat being generated and introduced into the different components of the house. So sometimes it rapidly escalates, but there are times that we get called for a fire that there's been a lightning strike in the immediate yard or a lightning strike directly on the house, several hours earlier.
So can kind of go either way there.
Absolutely. If any of our, any member of our community feels like that they need to have something investigated, by all means, we want them to call early.
Well, I have to say, and I've lived in Tallahassee 35 years. I don't think that way. I don't think, gosh, there's a lightning storm out there. I better keep my eyes open for the signs of fire. It just doesn't occur to me. But that is, in fact, a probability. It can happen very easily.
It's definitely a possibility. We want the community to be educated and the community to be aware. And like I said, if they have anything that causes them any concern or any evidence, we want them to call us.
Yeah.
And we worked one this week. It's just interesting to note that we had a neighbor that heard the lightning strike. I think she actually saw it and heard it. And this is just kind of a tip for residents is, you know, if lightning hits a tree or you hear this boom in your neighborhood, it's not a bad idea. Just take a peek out the window.
Yeah.
Obviously, we don't want you out there in the lightning storm, but just keep an eye out. This neighbor actually did that. She peeked out the blinds, kept an eye out, and sure enough, the lightning strike jumped the tree and hit the home. She saw fire coming out of the gable of the home.
Because of her, just being aware
and making that phone call, you know, we were really able to save most of that home.
That's remarkable.
It wouldn't have been that way had she not called.
That is remarkable. And am I correct, too? Once the fire does get up inside of an attic of a house, that's a whole different situation than if it's in another part of the structure. Or educate me on that. I'll tell you where I'm coming from. When I was a kid, we had a fire at our home, and my father put that fire out. Now, this was a fire that had been going for a good hour and a half, but it was on the exterior, the back side of the house, and it had gotten into the siding. It was cedar up in the Pacific Northwest. And, this was a fairly good-sized house, and it had burned off the siding but hadn't gotten up into the roof of the house. So he was able to get to it with a garden hose. And, you know, by the time fire service got there, they were looking at him like, man, wow. And the guy said to him, if it had gotten up into the roof, it wouldn't have been. And I guess that was just because he couldn't get access. He wouldn't have been able to get access to the fire itself. I've never quite understood how that works, I guess. But is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we've seen through the years, we've seen building codes change. And we've always tried to stay ahead of these challenges that, you know, result in these large, you know, structure fires that spread from one home to another or from one apartment unit to another apartment unit. So now we're seeing in newer construction through the years, through the decades, that, you know, they're building partitions and attics to separate one structure from another, or in the walls they're building fire stops. But still, you know, like as a result of this lightning strike, you get a fire in the attic that, you know, frankly, nobody may know about. We've even had some that you go to where the homeowners don't even know the home's on fire. The neighbors come over and knock on the door and get them out.
Wow.
So, you know, so the hidden fires, the attic fires are particularly challenging to us. It just presents it. Number one, it's tough to get in the attic. Some attics are framed up in such a way or pitched in such a way that we really can't move around much. And you know, I know we go to somewhere the scuttle hole's blocked, so we may have to actually make our own hole in the ceiling and take a ladder and get up inside that or work off the roof. So
just to get access to it.
Definitely challenging.
Yeah.
And one of the additional challenges is dealing with an attic fire, whether it's residential or commercial. Our members have to essentially fight it from below.
Yep.
And one of the greater threats of interior fire attack is a collapse. So you've got a superheated atmosphere that's degrading the structural components of the attic and the roof line and the ceiling line, and our guys and gals are out there making an aggressive attack underneath it. So it you know, attic fires, you know, do create a significant challenge for us.
On all levels. Talking with Lieutenant Mike Bellamy and Interim Fire Chief Wes Roberts here at Tallahassee Fire Department. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here on a Saturday morning. Glad you've joined us. Learning a little bit about what these ladies and gentlemen have to deal with every day. Sounds like a good part of the work is helping us be better educated in preventing mishaps, preventing fires. And Mike, you referred to that happening even systemically within the codes that are implemented, the fire codes that help to prevent fires from happening, the use of materials or how things are put together. And we're going to talk a little further too as we go on about some of Tallahassee's history. And I found out just by listening to you, didn't know that the Tallahassee, the Great Tallahassee Fire.
Great Tallahassee Fire.
Of 1843. So we're going to learn about the Great Tallahassee Fire. Didn't know we had a Great Tallahassee Fire.
And we're going to find out, too, some of the history of this organization and what they've been doing all these many years to try to keep us safe and sound and protect us from ourselves in many cases. Do you still see this stuff going on where people, it seemed when I was a kid, people would fall asleep smoking in bed, you know, and there'd be a mattress fire and the guy would die from smoke inhalation. I mean, it's just like...
Smoking related fires actually are the number one killer when we look at the statistics nationwide.
Even now?
Absolutely. We see that. We see that quite a bit. It seems like, and again, that's one of those, you know, there's no season to that type of fire. Right. And that one's 100.
What's the cure for stupidity? That's the problem. I just don't get
that. It's tough. I mean, we definitely respond to a lot. And it could, and they're all different types. Some are, they fall asleep smoking. Some of them, I remember one last year. It was a beautiful home, probably 3,000 square foot home, where they were extinguishing the cigarettes on the back deck. And the ashes got down between the deck and underneath the deck, and they all went to bed. And their 7-year-old heard the smoke detector going off and woke up their parents, and the entire back of that home was burnt off. The moonlight was shining on the children's beds upstairs.
So you guys have to many times just walk away from a situation shaking your heads thinking, wow, guys, you know, you got to pay attention here. You can't be doing stuff like that. Folks, I'll tell you, now I've got a few personal stories along that line as well, so I'm not passing any judgment here, okay?
We're doing a home survey on your home, actually, tomorrow.
That's so why you're here, I understand, no doubt. But you stay with us because we're learning a lot from these gentlemen, and thank you for tuning in. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
Hey, Magnolia.
Oh, hey, Chris.
Hey, you're looking pretty good there. You've been doing the Roberts, right?
Yeah, hey, and I can't thank you enough, you know. I haven't felt this good in years. I mean, I'm putting out roots and leaves I didn't know I had in me. And look at these blossoms, huh?
I'm telling you, it's the Roberts. Hey, that's great, Mac. I'm happy for you.
Yeah, and you know, I think everybody ought to be doing the Roberts. I mean, it's not just good for guys like us, but, you know, for everybody, right?
Have you seen Camellia lately?
Hi, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Do your flowers, plants, and trees a favor with the best organic topsoil, compost, and mulch from Roberts Sand Company. Ask for it by name at your local nursery or call 576-1414 or click robertssand.com. Do the Roberts.
So we're learning a lot about the Tallahassee Fire Department and its history, an organization that began back in, 1902 as a group of volunteers, and is that right, Wes?
I believe it was actually earlier than that.
Okay.
We've got about 144 years of documented history.
Okay.
From the inception of some kind of organized fire response.
Maybe 1902 was the formalization of when they had
the Tallahassee Fire Department.
Okay. And then this great Tallahassee fire happened in 1843, so that predates the formalization of the service. We're going to talk a little bit about that, but I know that you've got some things to share with us that give us a better sense of everything you do, because there's a whole lot more that you guys get involved in than just putting out fires, although that is your core mission. But there's a lot that goes on before that to keep us safe, protect us.
Oh, absolutely. You know, one of the things that's important to us is that people realize what we do. We do so much more than fight fires. The Tallahassee Fire Department's mission statement is to provide the safety and welfare for our community and our members through prevention, preparation, and protection. We've got a dedicated fire prevention bureau that does inspections, plans review, public education. They're very dynamic. I think they lead to a safer environment. They lead to a reduced amount of fire loss and reduced amount of fire deaths. In addition to just as far as emergency response, we've got a great partnership with Leon County EMS. The system is designed to enhance one another. Through our 15, soon to be 16 fire stations, we assist them with advanced life support care as well as basic life support care. And that's a significant portion of what we do. Our community should be proud because of our level of commitment to them, as well as to the region and the state. We've got two state asseted or regionally responsive hazmat teams and a Florida urban search and rescue team. So, you know, we if you call for a fire truck, you're going to get a fire truck, regardless of the nature of the emergency. We want to we want to go and impact people in a positive way throughout the community.
And there's a kind of then interagency relationship between city and county. So you guys work and play well with each other. You really work in those situations that require even more help, perhaps. Tell me when that happens. When is it that county and city show up at the same place, or are all of those vehicles we're looking at Tallahassee Fire Department? I mean,
well, throughout the Tallahassee and Leon County, the Tallahassee Fire Department is the primary fire protection provider.
Okay.
Through an interlocal agreement and a contract, we also provide the fire protection for the unincorporated area.
I see.
But we rely on and have a great partnership with five local volunteer fire departments in the unincorporated area. As far as fire protection, they also assist with emergency medical responses.
I see.
Leon County EMS is the primary EMS provider for City of Tallahassee as well as Leon County. But through that same interlocal and the EMS agreement, we assist them with response via our engine companies and our ladder companies. So
right.
based on the location, the nature of the call, and through our strategically placed 15 fire stations and their posting of their ambulances. It's designed to deliver the most efficient and effective EMS fire rescue related services that we can.
And the new facility over here that's been built here in the last year or so, that's ready to come online, or is it now fully functional?
Well, the public safety complex is almost fully functional.
That's on Easterwood, right?
911 Easterwood Drive.
911 Easterwood Drive.
Yeah. Clever. Was that your idea, Mike?
I'm not going to say right now.
Okay, all right.
For the
all right.
patent to come through.
Okay, all right.
Leon County EMS administrative offices and their operations centers right next door. Tallahassee Fire Department administrative headquarters is there.
Right.
The Leon County Emergency Management is there. Traffic engineering and traffic management is located.
So it's a real depot for all of these services. And,
absolutely. Our consolidated dispatch agency, which is a joint venture of all disciplines and all agencies. And all the government entities, impacted, it is scheduled to go live as an independent agency located at the public safety complex in mid-September. And we're excited about that.
You know, a family friend of ours, Kyle Pace, is a member of the service and has been for a number of years. And I recall when he was in his beginnings with the department, the amount of training is extensive. And it's not just the physical part of that training. There's a lot to learn about, and I'll plead ignorance here, or plead guilty, I should say, in underestimating what fire can do and how quickly it can spread. And my family will tell you the stories. When we first moved into the house we have now, here I grew up in the Seattle area. It's always wet, so you don't deal with fire. But in the summertime. Especially with pine straw, that is a very combustible substance, and not to mention the rest of the underbrush. So I'm clearing off some brush there in the back, and the wind came out of nowhere. Within a matter of a few minutes, that fire is beyond my control. And I've got a water hose, and I'm trying to, and man, it was taking off and heading for that nearest pine tree it could find. Thankfully, fire department was there within a matter of a few minutes. And I remember this big old fellow walked up to me, and I said, "Guess I'm in a little bit of trouble here." He said, "You're in a lot less trouble than you would have been. Let me put it that way." And they did the job. But wouldn't it have been advisable for me to have had that education prior to, thinking through? It's very difficult for us to imagine how much force you're really dealing with. And yet that's the kind of training you guys are given and provide one another when you're looking at how do we prevent this from happening? What do we do when it does happen? It seems to me that not everybody is cut out for this line of work.
Yeah, the prevention is so important, and we always try to come back to that when we're out talking with the community. It's hard to measure the impact that the prevention piece has, right? Because how do you measure something that doesn't happen?
Right.
So we stay motivated, and we know that we have programs for college kids.
Huh.
We have college kids coming back right now. Well, that's important to us because we know we're going to be down at Sally Hall, and somebody's going to, you know, try to move a hot grease pan out of the kitchen, and they're going to have third-degree burns, and we're going to be flying them to Shands. Yep. So whether it's a college student or it's a kindergarten class that's fixing to start up, it's important for us to teach all these fire prevention practices, teach it the right way so that, and these things stick with you for life. I mean, when I'm cooking in the kitchen and my smoke alarm goes off, my kids go either out the front door or they're kidding around me and stop, dropping and rolling.
Yeah. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here on a Saturday, talking with Acting Fire Chief Wes Roberts and his good companion, Lieutenant Mike Bellamy. You stay with us. We'll be right back. Now, with this week's IMAX UMAX moment, here's Emily Brown.
With your IMAX UMAX for this week, I'm Emily Brown. Every third Saturday of the month, the Challenger Learning Center opens its doors for a Kids Free Day, which features a free IMAX or planetarium show and activities for kids. This Saturday, August 17th, children will receive free admission to the 11 a.m. showing of Great White Shark 3D, which you may remember from last week's IMAX UMAX segment. Just after the movie, we're offering an IMAX Learning Lab where kids will have the opportunity to make and take two activities that will cap off their exploration of great white sharks. Come on out for this free and educational fun for your kids. Now, if you can't make the free showing on Saturday at 11, we're showing movies all week, including World War Z 3D and Pacific Rim 3D. Also, keep an eye out for our upcoming openings of Elysium, Wizard of Oz 3D, and Metallica Through the Never 3D. You can find movie showtimes and more information about our Kids Free Day at ChallengerTLH.com. With IMAX UMAX, I'm Emily Brown.
We were faced with a very difficult situation. It was horrible. The trauma scene was bad enough, and it involved hazardous material. When we contacted Associated Services, it was so reassuring. They put together a team for us immediately and stayed in contact with us even though we were 3 hours away.
We get a lot of those kind of calls, but this one somehow was different. What really stuck was the confusion in her voice.
They were available to answer all our questions and provide additional help throughout the entire ordeal. They were right there, compassionate, professional, even months after completing the job. Associated Services, I would trust them with any job, regardless of scale.
Since 1975, Associated Services Cleaning and Restoration, experts in dealing with mold, water, fire, and biohazard cleanup, experienced in dealing with people. Associated Services Cleaning and Restoration, online at associatedsvs.com.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here. We're talking about fire prevention and the work of the Tallahassee Fire Department. We've got Lieutenant Mike Bellamy with us and Acting Fire Chief Wes Roberts. You guys have been at this for a while, both of you. You're not newbies, so apparently we haven't worn you out. You're still in there fighting the good fight.
I'm halfway there, Chief Wes.
We'll see how it goes the rest of the interview.
Chief's counting chips down over here.
If you think about it, how much firefighting has changed, and Wes, you referred to that, just in terms of the kinds of things you have to know, you have to be prepared to do. The standards have changed, and we might say gratefully, because there's just more of us. And there seems an endless number of ways we can really mess ourselves up. And you folks have to be prepared to drag us out at any given moment. So let's look a little bit at the history here. This is an organization that started back in the late 1800s, formally beginning 1902 with a paid group of people who are firefighters then. Gratefully, thankfully, in your history, you've had one line of service loss, and that you referred to that, Mike, when you talked about this firefighter who lost his life, I guess, in a warehouse fire.
Yeah, 1930, Lewin Spear would have been one of the first five paid members of the Tallahassee Fire Department, and they would have been housed in right there about where the Doubletree is. They would have been in the fire station right there, and they responded to a warehouse fire, and he became disoriented inside the fire. You can imagine back then, no breathing apparatus, so he would have had a turnout coat on and a helmet and been inside this warehouse. Well, He unfortunately succumbed to the smoke, and that would have you know, that represents our first and only thankfully our line of duty death.
But then he was honored here a while back. You folks did the good deed of researching that question, and then he was inducted into what was it? Some sort of honorary position?
We entered him into the Fallen Firefighter Memorial, which is down in Ocala at the Florida State Fire College.
What a good
thing
to do.
And that's, you know, Maurice Majak, who retired from TFD, is a senior plans examiner. He did a lot of legwork, actually wrote a history book for the Tallahassee Fire Department. He went back and did a lot of research and got that going. We were able to connect with Lewin Spears' great grandnephew John Harrell. He came down. Just a great day, really neat day.
But over more than 100 years of service, and you've lost one comrade in that. I think that says a lot about how thoughtful all of you are about what you do. I still don't understand why you do it. That remains a mystery to me. I mean, Wes, you've got to be looking at that job at Sears and thinking, you know, on a good day, I could be selling a refrigerator, making decent money, and you're out here putting your tushy on the line for us. Why do you do this?
My story is probably a little bit more unique. You know, I was raised in Sop Choppy, Florida, in that
area. And I promise no Sop Choppy jokes.
That's okay. I can hold my own with the Sop Choppy jokes.
Okay. Right.
But in that community, you know, strictly volunteer, you know, based fire protection. And, you know, I became involved with that. My family, I come from a history of public service. My mother did 30 years locally with handicapped children. My father's a retired Marine Corps aviator, and my brother's a local judge. So, you know, public service is all I've ever seen and all I've ever known.
Is that true, you think, for a lot of firefighters, that they have some connection to a family member who's been part of it in some way? Does that happen?
We do have multiple generations within our agency as a whole. But at the end of the day, I think the biggest draw is the sense of making a contribution. You're not going to get rich being a Tallahassee firefighter. You're going to get paid, you know, pretty good, but you're not going to get rich doing it. But at the end of the day, when I walk into my living room, when I look myself in the mirror and I know that I've made a difference in the community, that is the biggest benefit of this job. And there's other benefits. You know, it's a dynamic job. It continues to change every day. You never have to deal with the exact same scenario from one day to the next. It constantly changes. And I'll steal a phrase from Chief Dick, you know, who was my immediate supervisor and my mentor for the past 5 years.
Great person.
How many accountants go home and have calculators on their bookshelves or calculators on their walls? Versus how many firefighters have firefighter statues or certificates that they have obtained or awards that they've obtained throughout their career. It's a great opportunity. It's a great job. And I think the biggest thing, like I said, is the sense of accomplishment and the personal contribution.
Mike, you echo that same sentiment?
Yeah, it's such a wonderful job. I mean, it's funny. We catch ourselves saying it all the time. Firefighters will say it's the best job in the world. Still the best job in the world. After 9/11, we lost 343 firefighters. Still the best job in the world. I mean, it's just, you know, not only the feeling you get from helping people out, being there for them, the dynamics of the job, whether you're rappelling, bringing somebody down off of a crane, or you're in a trench, or you're fighting a fire, but just the camaraderie, the family.
You see some of your colleagues around the country, you mentioned 9/11, but even recently this group of firefighters out there in California fighting a forest fire, and you think about the fact that they were overcome in that situation, and these guys weren't, they themselves were veterans. They knew what they were doing, and yet they were taken. I mean, that's got to just cut you guys to pieces when you hear that.
It is devastating, and you know, what we can do as an organization and what we can do as a fire service in a whole in throughout the country is you know, identify things that went wrong, capitalize on training, and try to prevent it. We, you know, the fire service as a whole still loses close to 100 firefighters a year throughout the country. Those numbers are significantly down in comparison to the 70s.
Because of technology, training,
because of identifying the need for our fit level of fitness.
Are we better aware, do you think, as a population?
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. You know, fire prevention has made a difference in firefighter survivability as well as, you know, civilian losses. Hmm.
I wonder if the internet has helped us in that regard too, just in terms of a source of dispensing that information, keeping us better prepared. I mean, here again, here's a group of professional firefighters out there doing their job. They know what they're doing, and they get taken. I mean, can you imagine the unknown, right? And I mentioned my own circumstance. I didn't realize what I was dealing with. These guys did, and it still came and got them.
And as we encourage citizens to be fire safe and we teach those techniques, we actually look at our profession in the same way. We look at line of duty deaths. I think just this morning, Chief Robert sent out line of duty deaths. I think we've lost about 40 structure firefighters this year so far. Mm. So what we do as
nationally
a profession,
nationally.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So as a fire department, it's our responsibility to look at that and look at what went wrong. So we do a lot of that in our training. We try to evaluate how to do our job more efficient, safer, and still be out there on the front line.
Well, folks, it's always the hardest part of my job to say we've come to the end because there's so much more to learn and so much we can get from these fine gentlemen who put their lives on the line along with all of their colleagues to do one very simple thing, to keep us safe and protect lives and property. Folks, we have a lot to say to these guys, so when you see them, tip your hat to them, wave at them. They still like it when they're driving down that road and they're up there in that big old red truck, and give them the high sign. Let them know you appreciate them, and I know they appreciate that very much. Thanks for being with us, guys. Mike Bellamy, Lieutenant Mike Bellamy, and Acting Fire Chief Wes Roberts, Tallahassee Fire Department, here at Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. You know, if you have a topic of this nature, something that you think would be of use to us, something that would be helpful and informative and enjoyable, interesting, send us an email, topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. Simple enough. And if you've missed one of the shows, or if you'd like to hear more of this particular interview today, you can do so, TallahasseeTalks.com. If you didn't get to take down all the notes you wanted to, go back. It's there for you in our archive section of the website, TallahasseeTalks.com. That's what we have today for you folks, and we're glad you've been a part of it. It's what we're all about because we want to know what you're talking about. That's why we call it Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Freedom 93 is our home, FM 93.3. We'll be looking for you again next Saturday morning right here. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.